Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Well, I was asked by the Wilson family if this is Terry and Gina, if I'd ever been into an escape room. And my response was, I try not to ever put myself into a place that I have to escape. So the answer would be no, I have not been in one. But they said, well, you know, we're going to get you one here at church. And I said, well, you know, I've already escaped all that stuff too, so I don't know what I'm going to do. Yeah.
Have you been in deacon's
meetings? Moving right along. I heard about a deacon's meeting one time that they couldn't come to an agreement. They're working, and they just could not come to an agreement. And finally, one guy said, I guess we just need to pray about it. And one of the other deacons said, well, has it come to that? Anyway, I do have something I want to read to you. You know, we took up an offering graciously you guys gave to help Pastor Mike Snellgrove with his injury when he lost his arm. And he sent a thank you card, him and his wife Loretta, and sent a thank you card and said, thank you so much, Father's Vineyard, for your gracious gift. We appreciate all the prayers and support more than you will ever know, Pastor Mike and Loretta Snellgrove. So thank you guys so much for contributing to that. And was able to give him $5,000. I don't do that to say yay us. I do that to say yay God. I really do. You guys are great givers. But there are people who need to learn how to escape, or who need to escape, and they are. They're waiting on you and I to help them escape what they're in. You know, the Bible says over in Philippians 2, it says this, that we are in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. I would say that is so true. Crooked and perverse generation. And the Bible talks about darkness and talks about how gross it's going to be and talks about this as well and how corrupt things are. And he is developing you and I to be able to take a stand in this crooked and perverse and corrupt generation. Amen. We've been talking to you a little bit about over in Ephesians about how he has made us to sit together with him. He's raised us from the dead as well, on the cross, and seated us. We've been emphasizing that for the last 2 weeks about how to sit and learn. And that doesn't mean to physically sit. I mean, you can, but it means to rest and sit in your soul to be able to learn from God, you know, and by means of the Holy Spirit. And by means of messages that's brought to you from other people, from your prayer life as well. And he wants us to be able to garnish the things that he's already done. And he wants us to grow in that. And that presents us to the next level of how our walk with God should be. And that is walking out what we've learned. Walking out what we've gathered in our seating, in our resting position. Because he is above all rulers and all principalities and all authority. He is above all of that, right? Okay. Do this to the person next to you. I mean, you know. But We get to this place of taking in and beginning to rest in who He is and what He's done and what He's doing and who we are and what we have before us, and then we get to walk it out. What an honor it is to walk out the purposes of God. But see, that's our next stage that we're going to be talking about today, is to walk out. Over in Ephesians chapter 2, it says this: we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Created in Christ Jesus for good works. We are His workmanship. So you can look at your neighbor and say, you're a piece of work. But you're God's piece of work. You're God's piece of work. Amen? You're a piece of work. And I thank God He's still working on some of you. No, some of me. Yeah, God's still working at it. You know, but see, He said, you're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand. The very works that He has you to do has already been prepared by God before you were ever born. Before you were ever born, the works that He has given you to do was already prepared. The work has been prepared by God. And beforehand, then He goes, that you should walk in them. So this is a rising up from the sitting. You know, we're still always seated with Him, but on this earth, we're rising up to walk out what He's given us, walk out what He's put in us. Amen? And that's where we trip up. A lot of times we want to walk and do things before we ever sit and understand who He is, what He's done, and who we are in Him. And that is very crucial that we capture that at the beginning. This thing about walk means to practically, it's a practical outworking of what we've learned out of our heavenly position. That's our position, seated with Him. Walking that out is our position here on earth, to be able to walk out what we've learned and bringing heaven to earth. Francis Frangipan puts it this way. He said, we don't need to be a people that looks like we're headed to heaven. We need to look like a people that's come from heaven. That is real good. Amen. Amen. That we're headed there. And it says to be able to work this out while occupying your thoughts with being seated with Him. Because you're far above all this other stuff that's on the earth. Do not lose sight of that. Occupy your mind with that in every phase of your life. What, do I need to do that at Walmart? Especially at Walmart. I don't have a problem with Walmart, but I'm saying especially when you're out. When you're out and about, you know, walk out what's in you. And see, that's a big problem in some, because we don't have enough in us. And I heard Jeff talking this morning about taking in. And some of the things that we're taking in is not good for us. Because whatever we take in, you know, is going to impact what we give out. Whatever we set our ear to listen to is what we're going to take in. And so we need to understand that we have a responsibility before us to walk out what God has put in us and what we've learned. That's a responsibility we have. And we will attain that responsibility as we grow in our walk. So we said, well, I'm already secure. And I said, yeah, that's not the discussion. You know, you're already secure in Jesus paying for your sin and covering your sin with His blood. And we're going to be talking a little bit more about that. Next Sunday is going to be the beginning of Passover week, and we're going to be sharing some with that. But see, that's not the discussion here. The discussion is not about your salvation. The discussion is about working out the salvation that's in you, the deliverance that you have, is being able to let your behavior and what you say and what you do be a vibrant reflection of what's inside you that has been placed there by God. Placed there by Him. You don't have to come up with it. You've already gotten it. And then you learn how to walk that out. So over in Ephesians chapter Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 says, "Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask and think, according to the power that works within you." See, capture this. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond and above all that we ask, all that we think, according to the power that works within us. So he's able to do exceedingly above whatever you're thinking about. Exceedingly above. And he's working that out from the power that is inside you and I. We don't have to muster up the power. We don't have to work at getting the power to be able to go and do. No, we're resting. Resting in him. Resting in what he's given us. And then we're just being able to walk out as we tap into what he's already put inside us. Amen? Amen. Then let's go back to this thing about Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 through 16. Says, "Work out your salvation with fear and trembling." Means with awe and with responsibility. Work it out. That means walk it out. Walk out the deliverance that's in you. For it is God who is at work in you. It is God who is at work in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. For his good pleasure. It is God who is at work in you working this, but are you allowing him to work you? So we talked about that. We said that last week, I tried religion, I tried church, but it didn't work. The reason it didn't work is you never let it work you. You never let it work you. What's inside you has to work out of you. What's inside you has to work out of you. How does that happen? He puts you right in front of somebody that's rude. How many of you have met that person? Yeah, put you right in front of somebody or behind somebody that's just rude, mean, contrary. Now you got to work out. Now it's when you have to say, okay, he's put inside. What has he put inside me? A love that is beyond understanding. But I don't want to tap into that right now. Y'all know I'm talking to you. I'm telling you the truth. I don't really want to do that. You know, they bumped the heel of my foot with their buggy. I was at the Dollar General? Dollar General, and I had my little yellow buggy in line and following these little circles at 6 feet apart, and this lady's in front of me, and I go up, and I'm on the spot. I'm standing right on the circle. But she whips around, and she said, "6 feet, please." We'll move right along. No, I looked at her and I said, "Is that between people or buggies?" See, my buggy was closer to her than I was. And she looked, because my buggy was probably about that far away from her. I said, "Is that between people or buggies? I'm learning here." She looks down, she said, "Oh." I'm glad that test wasn't any longer. Oh, me. Yeah, that's how he works it out. That's how he works it out. That's how he gets you and I to understand that the things that we've learned, he's wanting you to live. You go and the line is long, and just as soon as you say, I'm going to change lines, it slows to a crawl or stops. Could Adam check on the aisle that he just moved to? I think they do that stuff on purpose. Oh, I see what he's doing. Yeah. Adam check. You know. No, all this stuff is the reality of life that is happening around us that he says, okay, out of the living that I put you inside and put you into, I want you to live out of what I put in you. There's a reason for that. And it shows you this in this passage. It said, both to will, it's God who is at work in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. But do all things without grumbling, grumbling and arguing. Rewind. Do all things, not some of them, do all things without grumbling and disputing or arguing, that you may prove yourselves. Here we go. That you may prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God, above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life. What are you holding fast to? The word of life that you live, that you learn while sitting in him. You know, I have to go back to that sitting place often and just remind myself who he is, what he's done. How many of you, if I could allow you today, would be able to stand up and share a testimony on the goodness of God in your life? Raise your hand. See, why is that? Because he's already been working. You've already been listening. You've already been learning. You've already been walking it out. But see, he put you right into a crooked and perverted generation. I'm talking about real perversion. Yes, true? There's a lot of genuine perversion that is happening in this earth with people. And he says, I'm going to put you right in the midst of that. No, I don't want to go into that. Just put me in with the good Christians. Somebody asked me, said one time, I said, are you a good Christian? And they found out I was a Christian. I said, are you a good Christian? And I said, well, are they bad Christians? They said, sure. And I said, show me one, then I'll find out if I'm good or bad. I'll put you right in the crooked, right where the crooked people are. I'll put you right where the perverse people are. I'll put you right where the corruption is, in order that you'll be able to prove that I'm at work in you and you're listening and you know who you are, you know who I am, and you'll be able to walk out what I put inside you in the midst of this perverse generation, and therefore you will prove yourself to be innocent and blameless because you're a child of God. What an opportunity to walk it out. What an opportunity. Ephesians 4. Well, and then it says, because among them you appear as lights in this world. Lights. Yeah. We're children of light. And we hold fast to the word of life. There's people all over in this crooked and perverse generation that needs to hear that word of life. But listen, they're not going to hear anything that we say, unless our life is proving. You can say a lot, but they're going to watch how you behave. It's easy to say, harder to do. And they're watching. And they want the genuine. They really do. They want the genuine. He goes on in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 through 3. He says, I, the prisoner of the Lord, entreat you to walk in a manner that is worthy of your calling. Well, does I have to muster that up? No, I just have to rest, learn, and do what I've learned. He goes on and he says over in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2 says, be imitators of God as beloved children. Walk in love just as Christ has loved you. Uh-oh. Walk in love just as Christ also loved you. While you were yet sinners, he loved you. While they are yet corrupt, while they are yet perverse, while they are yet crooked, love. It doesn't mean you have to agree with everything that they do. None of that. But you love them. Love them as Christ loved you. Goes on in chapter 5 of Ephesians 5, verse 8. You were formerly in darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. Then it goes on and says, for the fruit of light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. You know what the fruit of light is? How you know you've got light? Goodness, all righteousness, and all truth is happening. Then verse 10, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. You are already pleasing in who you are. What we do may not be pleasing because we're doing things that he's not pleased with. But you yourself, he's pleased with who you have become, who you are in him. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. He hadn't done the first miracle. Okay. Then he says to practice. We have to practice this thing. Learn these things and all the things that you have learned and received and heard from me and seen in me. This is Philippians chapter 4. Practice these things and the God of peace shall be with you. Practice these things. Over in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. Solid food is for the mature. Because of practice, who practice? They have practiced their senses trained. If you practice the truth, you have your senses trained to be able to discern what is good and evil. If there's ever a day that we need to be able to discern what is good and what is evil, it is today. Because we hear people say about evil, this is good. And they say about good, this is evil. He says you can practice the righteousness of God and train your senses to discern what is good and what is evil. Boy, do we need that today. See, it comes with practice. It comes with training. All right. I'm going to move on from walk to this place called stand. Because we're in this thing, in this crooked, in this darkness, in this perverse generation, in this corrupt generation, and here we are. God is looking for people who have the ability to stand in the midst of it and show forth who he is. The church can no longer be at a place to where we cannot stand in him. How serious is this? Okay, finally, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. And I'm going to stop there just a moment. This thing about being strong, in the Greek, that's a passive voice in the verb. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength. That passive voice means that I, the subject, has been acted upon from an outside source. My being strong is because he has put that in me. I didn't muster it up. That's when he says, be strong in the Lord. Don't be strong in your own strength. This be strong is that the outside source has caused me to be that. The same thing in Peter. When Peter says, be holy, be ye holy. We got people all the time trying to work to be holy. You can't get there by work. You can't get to holiness by work. You cannot get to holiness by work. Amen. You cannot get to holiness by work.
Amen.
You are holy because he made you holy. You are righteous because he made you righteous. And then you get to do what? Live out of what he already made you. I got to work at being holy. Well, you've already failed. An outside source made you that way. He took all that you were and gave you all that he is. Boy, what a deal. Be strong. Well, be strong, what does it mean? He's already made you that. Live it out. Be strong in the Lord means in the union that you be strong in that union that you have with him. Why? He made you that way. So go ahead and be strong in him. I'm going to tell you something. You know, it's something like, you know, I don't have to work at being a male. He made me that way. He made me that way. No matter if I think I'm a woman, want to be a woman, none of that stuff matters. I'm a man. Walking with God. Oh, what do you feel like today? Let's see. No, it doesn't work that way. That's the perversion of this world. They need to see light. Okay. Be strong in the Lord and strength of his might. Put on. This put on means to walk out. Put on the armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devils, of the enemy. The schemes of the enemy are at work. The plans that he has to steal, kill, and destroy. All those are plans that the enemy has. Right? He said, you can stand. That's what he's saying right here. He said, because you've been seated and because you've been walking, now you get to the place. And he goes on, he says this. He says, you're standing against the devil. Then he says, for your struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's not against human beings. It's against rulers and powers and world forces of the darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up. Here's your walk. Therefore, take this up. Take up the armor of God that you may be able to resist in the evil day. I'd say we're in an evil day. What's he looking for people to do? Sit, walk, stand. You won't be able to stand in the armor of God when you don't trust him. You don't trust him because you've not walked with him. You've not walked with him because you've not sat down with him to learn from him. We can learn from other places, but it won't be him. You have to learn from him in different ways, but you have to learn from him. Then he says, after you've done everything, stand. Stand firm. Then he says, stand firm therefore. And he goes on and he said, you gird yourself in your loins with truth. Then he begins to describe everything that you have to walk out. You're walking out the truth that he put in. He says, take up, you know, shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace and put on the breastplate of righteousness. What? I thought you said I was already righteous. You are. You are. Walk out. walk out. The breastplate said, okay, I'm righteous. I'm right. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Right? I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Okay. Then he goes on and he says, take up the shield of faith and that you may be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one. All the lies. Long range lies. Just firing away. And you faith. What faith? Faith in who he is, what he's done, who I am, what I'm here to do, and his ability to work in me the very will and substance of God in a perverse generation. I just put that faith up and said, fire away. I tell you, the world needs to see Christians take a stand. Once you do, it gets rough. I looked at myself one time, and it's been years ago, and it came to my mind, and I said, God, you know, and going through a ton of stuff, and I looked, and I said, God, I'm looking, my helmet's crooked, and, you know, my belts are sagging, and my swords are dragging, and look at my feet, and my straps is coming loose, and my shield has got all kind of dents in it, and look at me. I mean, I'm really into this thing with God. I'm saying, God, I look a mess. You're still standing, aren't you? Yeah. He took all the beating for me. Oh, he's looking for a church. He's looking for a people that is willing to take a stand in the face of adversity and in the face of corruption, and take a stand for truth and say the truth and plant your feet and said, yeah, there's no backing up for me. You know, the Lord said about the enemy, he said, you're the father of, you know, of lies. You're of your father because you're acting like your father, talking about Satan. And he makes this statement. He says this. He said, he does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. So if there's no truth in you, you won't be able to stand in truth. This thing called, he said, the strength of his might. The strength means his manifested authority. To be able to stand in his manifested authority. And the thing about might means the exercising of power. The exercising of power. This thing about standing, you want to hear what it means to stand in this passage? It means to be ready and prepared to hold the established ground of truth. Hold the already established ground. You don't have to establish the ground. You just stand in the truth that's already been established. Hold to stand, to prepare and be ready to hold the established ground of truth without relinquishing our position. In the midst of a conflictive corruption, an opposition and perversion. Hold the ground of truth that's already been established. Take a stand. Stay there. Do not shrink back, because we are not of those who shrink back. God is building an army that is not going to just stand still. They're going to do everything that they can to advance forward, and they're going to be standing on the church is going to be standing on established truth that he established. Not that somebody else said this is the truth. No, that's not the truth. I'll tell you what the truth is. There's a calling that you and I have to walk in a worthy manner. He picked you to live in this day. He picked you and I to be the church, to be part of the church, to stand in this day. He's ready for us to rise up. He's ready for us to sit, learn, know who he is without a doubt. But if you start doubting who he is, you will not put on the armor and you will not stand because you've not walked out what he's put in. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. This is the resting. God's fullness is in you. And he's wanting you to tap into the fullness of who he is. Learn to walk it out in the midst of adversity, in the midst of temptation, in the midst of trials, in the midst of hardness, in all the midst of the stuff. He's wanting you and I to walk, to be able to work out the salvation and the deliverance that he has already put in us. And all this other stuff, he says, the fullness of God is in you. He's just wanting us to tap into it and know it and walk. And then when the enemy comes to persuade you of another version, you remember who he is. You remember what he said. You know, this song about standing on the promises of God, we forgot how to stand. We heard them, but we didn't believe them. And then when the hard times come, we wobble. Just stand. His armor will take any beating that the enemy has to deliver. Every fiery dart, every lie that the enemy wants to bring your way and set you on fire with darkness is put out by faith, by the shield of faith. It's him. Where did you get your faith? From him. Y'all are quiet. Okay. Sit, walk, stand. You'll never be able to stand without sitting and without learning to walk. You won't be able to take a stand. All right. And God is waiting for us to say, come on, we're ready. We're ready. A righteous man falls what? What? Seven times. But what's the last thing he does? But he gets back up. We're all going to make mistakes. We're all going to stumble some. Get up. There's still some more standing that's got to be done. There's people that needs to escape this place of perversion, corruption. They need to see that you are light. We're children of light, and we're going to do that by bringing the truth, standing in the truth, standing in peace. I mean, it's almost like, you know, when you know, if something happens on an airplane or near an airplane, it's like, oh, you know, see, what they're looking for is peace. If you're just as shook up as they are, you have nothing to give them. I know from where my help comes from. Where's Doug Logan? I know from where my help comes from. My help comes from the Lord. Amen. So are you guys ready to take your position of being seated, which you already are, and learn to walk out with a few stumbles occasionally? It's going to happen. Get up. Learn to walk it out and then take your stand. And you say, this is where I'm planted right here. I've been planted here by the Lord. And this is the truth that I'm going to tell you, no matter what the consequences are. That will make a difference in society. Amen? Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Isn't he good?
Yes.
He is so good. Did you learn anything?
Yes.
I'm glad you did. I'm glad you did. Father, I thank you for today. I thank you so much for the Word of God that is so pure, that gives us correction, direction, encouragement, admonishment, rebukes. God, in the middle of all that, your love is so deep for us that you long to see your bride, your army, your people take a stand in the midst of all the darkness so you can work your miracles in and through us to get to them. So use us in Jesus' name to glorify who you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. See you next Sunday.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.